from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sanah with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla encourages maritime cooperation of Pacific countries. Indonesian House of Representatives DPR holds Indonesia-Pacific Parliamentary Partnership. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla attended Indonesia-Pacific Parliamentary Partnership in Jakarta on Monday, July the 23rd. The event, which was held by the House of Representatives, was attended by 13 parliament delegations from 14 countries in the Pacific region. The meeting, which themed Human Development and Maritime Sustainability, focuses on encouraging human resources and sustainable development of maritime countries in the Pacific region. In his speech, Vice President Yusuf Kalla encouraged the increasing of multilateral connectivity in blue economy because Pacific countries are maritime countries in the Pacific Ocean.
Concept blue economy atau blue growth adalah
konsep. Blue growth concept is a concept that has three things which must be considered, such as income which is obtained from maritime activity. Secondly, conservation and protection of marine ecosystem and social-cultural characteristic community which connect all of us. Basically, we have social-cultural relations. Meanwhile, Chairman of the House of Representatives DPR, Bambang Susatyo, said, as the host expressed his gratitude on the participation of Pacific countries in improving multilateral cooperation in maritime fields. Bambang also said that Indonesia, as a maritime country with the most number and large islands, has potential as the fourth great influential country in the world. Indonesia also contributes in various forums and events of the World Maritime Cooperation. The countries which participated in Indonesia-Pacific Parliamentary Partnership were Micronesia, Fiji, Kiribati, Nauru, Palau, Papua New Guinea, Marshall Island, Solomon Island, Tonga, Tuvalu, Polynesia, and New Caledonia. Indonesia hosted the Indonesia-Pacific Parliamentary Partnership session on Monday, July the 23rd in Jakarta. The event, which was held by the House of Representatives DPR, was attended by 13 parliament delegations from 14 countries in the Pacific region. On the opening event, Chairman of the Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Agency, the Indonesian House of Representatives DPR, Nurhayati Ali Asegab, said that the House wants to encourage and to improve international cooperation, either in the region or in the world, by encouraging the realization of Indo-Pacific idea. Through the event, the House of Representatives invited Parliament of Asia and South Pacific countries to change views and seek mutual solutions on international issues faced by the region.
As we are aware, the objective of this meeting it is to promote better linkage. Therefore, we must embrace topics that are in the interest of our mandate as the representative of the people. After carried consideration, the committee under my leadership has decided on three topics under the umbrella of prime them: human development, and maritime sustainability.
Nurhayati further explained that the Indonesia Pacific Parliamentary Partnership Session discussed on development of natural and human resources in the Pacific region, blue economic issue, and development of capacity. The discussion focused on the context of Parliament's involvement to deeply follow up these issues. Through the event, the House of Representatives supported the implementation of Indonesia's foreign policy based on free, active, and proactive principle in creating safe, prosperous, and fair world. The opening of Indonesia Pacific Parliamentary Partnership was also attended by Vice President Yusuf Kalla, Chairman of the House of Representatives DPR Bambang Susatyo, and Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fakhir. Indonesia and Malaysia have agreed to accelerate negotiations on boundary between the two countries. The negotiation of boundary, which is conducted by the two countries, is hoped to produce agreement, namely Border Crossing Agreement or BCA, within 2 months, because border trade will not be started if the agreement is not resolved yet. This was stated by Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi in a press statement with Malaysian Foreign Affairs Minister Saifuddin Abdullah at Gedung Pancasila in Jakarta, Monday, July the 23rd. Insert the dubbing. For land border, we hold negotiation of border crossing agreement. With the agreement, we check each other and it will be finished within 1 until 2 months. So if the border crossing agreement has finished, we'll begin to discuss border trade. Since there will be no cooperation if border crossing not finished yet. Therefore, we will push Border Crossing Agreement or BCA to be resolved within 2 months. Minister Retno Marsudi further explained, for border point at sea territory, Malacca Straits and Sulawesi Sea will become a priority to be negotiated shortly. After the 2 points of border have been agreed and formalized, the negotiation will be continued to other border points. In addition, the two countries also handed fully mandate to technical team which has been formed from stakeholders related to boundary of the two countries. The team will report to Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which later determines the thing which should be finished immediately. Malaysia is a neighboring country with the longest border area with Indonesia, both land and maritime border. Indonesia and Egypt are two countries which have longest history of relationship. The two countries have shared thoughts and experiences for a long time related to the development of moderate Islamic values or Wasatiyat Islam and have supported the fight of Palestinian independence. The statement was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of National Development Planning Agency and Chairman of the National Development Planning Agency Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, in his welcome speech at the commemoration of Egyptian National Revolution Day, which was held at the residence of Egyptian Ambassador to Indonesia in Jakarta, Monday, July the 23rd.
In the international fora, Indonesia and Egypt share a common understanding and position in the promotion of interests of developing countries and Islamic Gulf. Indonesia and Egypt have been adamant supporters in establishing the independence of Palestine. The visit of Great Sheikh Al-Azhar from the Bogor Summit on the Wasatiyah in 1 May 2018 was a privilege for Indonesian Muslims to learn from Sheikh comprehensive knowledge of Islam about the true meaning of Wasatiyah Islam and its principle and how it should become a spirit in implementing every aspect of Islam teaching. Thus, the Indonesian Muslim could contribute to the establishment of peaceful and tolerant world.
Bambang Brojonegoro moreover added that Indonesia and Egypt will continue to form the new path for the mutual cooperation for both sides. He also said that one of important cooperation between Indonesia and Egypt is in the education field. In the commemoration of Egyptian Independence Day, there are also present Indonesian Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fakhir, Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan, Jakarta Vice Governor Sandiaga Uno, and ambassadors of friendly countries. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi conducted bilateral meeting with Malaysian Foreign Affairs Minister Saifuddin Abdullah at Gedung Pancasila in Jakarta on Monday, July the 23rd. On the occasion, Malaysian government directly declared its preparedness to assist educational access to children of Indonesian migrant workers in Malaysia. Minister Saifuddin Abdullah, in a press conference along with Minister Retno Marsudi, said that Malaysian government will facilitate development of Indonesia School in Sabah to complete Indonesia School in Kuala Lumpur and Johor, which have been built previously.
Kita juga menyampaikan.
We also conveyed that Malaysian Kingdom is ready to facilitate the requirement to build Indonesia School, which has existed in Kuala Lumpur and Johor, although the Indonesian children prefer to study in Sabah, so we will facilitate it. Meanwhile, Minister Retno Marsudi conveyed her appreciation on Malaysian government's policy, which supports to give educational access for children of Indonesian migrant workers in Malaysia. Minister Retno Marsudi also said there is different mindset of Malaysian government led by Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad, which gives priority of educational access for school-age children, including Indonesian children. Currently, Indonesia and Malaysia agreed to cooperate to develop Community Learning Center, CLC, for children of Indonesian migrant workers in Malaysia. The two countries will continue to discuss the right location to add the number of new CLC. Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi said that she will also discuss efforts of development of Indonesia School and CLC with Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture. Israel has formally passed the Jewish state law, which is considered getting more marginalized the Palestinians in the country. The ratification of the law, according to Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, in addition to denying the rights of Palestinians, it will also threaten efforts of resolving the conflict based on two-state solutions. This was stated by Minister Retno Marsudi in a press conference with Malaysian Foreign Affairs Minister Saifuddin Abdullah in Jakarta Monday, July the 23rd. I want to convey one thing, namely on the legalized Jewish nation state law on July 19 by Israel Parliament. The legalization of the law has denied the rights of the Palestinians in Israel and threatened the conflict solution based on the two-state solutions. The Israeli Parliament's Knesset has passed a new law which defines Israel as the state of Jewish nation. The law is controversial as it is increasingly marginalizing Palestinians or the Arabic ethnics who have long complained of being treated as the second-class citizens. As a result of the passage of the law, the Palestinians will lose 5 rights, including the right to acquire the land, the right to return, the right to stay, the right to have a family, and the right to commemorate the birthday of Israel as the day of mourning or Nakba. And the last item, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Embassy of Mexico in Jakarta held a photography exhibition entitled Looking Each Other or Miradas Cruzadas. The exhibition is currently held at Diplomatic Canteen, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, from July 23rd until 26, 2018. The photography exhibition is held as an effort to celebrate the 65th years of Indonesia and Mexico diplomatic relationship. The photography exhibition will display two monumental photographers from both countries, namely Desiri Harahap from Indonesia and Marcela Taboada from Mexico. The two photographers have explored numerous cities in Indonesia and Mexico. After their journey, they engraved their stories through their photographs. During the opening speech of the photography exhibition, Director General for American and European Affairs, Muhammad Ansor, told the press that the photographs are the perfect artistic media to portray the conditions of humans in both countries.
This is a unique exhibition, photographs. As we know, that photography is the most accessible, most democratic way of making art. Everybody has access to make photographs. Photography is an artistic medium which is, you know, most able to capture the human conditions. But, of course, as I said, special because I understand that both are from both countries and they put themselves in each other's shoes and immerse with each other's nation. And of course, there is a cross-cultural.
Indonesian Ambassador to Mexico Armando Alvarez, who also attended the opening ceremony of the exhibition, said that Indonesia and Mexico aspire to consistently advance their relationship. The ambassador also expressed his hope that the photographs displayed in the exhibition will become the witness of how the two countries grow and develop. Through their journey, the two photographers tried to envisage the resemblances and differences of society's daily life in Indonesia and Mexico. In addition, the photography exhibition also reflects the different aspects of life from Indonesia and Mexico, comprising from traditions, women's life, children, family, cities, as well as villages. And listener to Andy News, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla encourages maritime cooperation of Pacific countries. Indonesian House of Representatives DPR holds Indonesia-Pacific Parliamentary Partnership. And that was the news.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to voiquiz2018@voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesia and the USA Need Each Other. Minister of Trade Enggartia Stolokita is in the United States to meet with the U.S. Trade Minister Wilbur Ross, the United States Trade Representative, USTR, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. During his speech, Minister Enggartia Sto is accompanied by representatives from the Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin, the Indonesian Exporter Companies Association, JPEI, the Indonesian Importer Association, GINSI, the Indonesian Palm Oil Entrepreneur Association, GAPKI, Indonesian Association of Biofuel Producer, APROBI, Indonesian Textile Association, API, and Producer of Automobile Tires, Palm Oil, Marine Catering, Steel, Aluminium, and Beverage Food. The visit of Indonesian Trade Minister Intarij from 23rd to 27th July is closely linked with the U.S. government's plan to review the Generalized System of Preferences GSP facilities which Indonesia has received so far. The GSP is a tariff exemption program on imports of certain goods from developing countries. This policy has been in operation since 1976, but was suspended in 2013 before being reinstated in June 2015. Last year, Indonesian export products to the U.S. recipient GSP benefits were worth $1.95 billion. Based on data from Indonesian Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, the value of export to the USA reached $17.79 billion, and imports $8.12 billion. Indonesian surplus to U.S. was worth $9.67 billion. Indonesian main export to the U.S. include shrimp, natural rubber, footwear, vehicle tires, and garments.
While Indonesia's main imports from the U.S. include soybeans, cotton, wheat flour, cornstarch, and animal feed. This speech is aimed at negotiating and explaining the position of Indonesia, so Indonesia is not excluded from the GSP facilities. The Indonesian government's move is much better than retaliation to the United States, for example, raising tariffs on the entry of U.S. goods to Indonesia. Because, in fact, the U.S. and Indonesia are not currently at trade war, has happened to U.S. and China nowadays. Actually, the grant of GSP benefits to U.S. business people because business practices in Indonesia are conducted under the pre-onboard FOB scheme. Through the scheme, Indonesian business people are not responsible for any duties or taxes imposed on goods exported through ports. This practice is also done when Indonesian business people import goods from the USA. So all tariffs imposed by the U.S. government on Indonesian exports are paid by buyers and importers from the USA. The sense is that the U.S. consumer and employers are the main beneficiaries of the GSP scheme. The amount is estimated to reach $1.95 billion. This reflects the amount of money that U.S. business people have to spend in the future when the scheme is revoked. This can be viewed that the nature of trade relations between the United States and Indonesia has been complementary so far, and they need each other. The USA will certainly not be hurried up to stop the GSP facility for Indonesia if this will ultimately make the USA be disadvantaged. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with July the 24th, 1911, discovery of the lost city of the Incas, Machu Picchu. With help from young Indian guides, American archaeologist Hiram Bingham managed to find the lost Inca town of Peru's highlands, Machu Picchu. The Inca is a popular Indian tribe in South America and already extinct. Machu Picchu is located at an altitude of 2,400 meters above sea level in the tropical part of the Andes Mountains, Peru, South America. Its location is very hidden, perched on the backs of two steep mountains, Huayna Picchu Mountain or Young Peak and Machu Picchu or Old Peak, and surrounded by 300-meter-high steep cliffs. Most archaeologists believe that Machu Picchu was built as a place for rest for the Emperor Inca Pachacuti, who lived from 1438 to 1472. The Inca began to build Machu Picchu around 1400, but were abandoned a century later on the arrival of the Spanish. It is likely that most of the people of Machu Picchu died of smallpox. Although known locally, the site was not known to the outside world until 1911 when Bingham introduced Machu Picchu to the outside world. I'll continue with July 24, 1923. The Treaty of Lausanne is signed. The Lausanne Treaty officially resolved the original conflict between the Ottoman Empire and the French Republic, the United Kingdom, the Kingdom of Italy, the Empire of Japan, the Kingdom of Greece, and the Kingdom of Romania from the beginning of World War I. The original text of the treaty was in French. This is the result of a second attempt for peace after the failed Treaty of Sèvres, signed by all previous parties except the Greek Empire. The Sèvres Treaty was later rejected by the Turkish National Movement that fought against the treaty provisions that caused Turkey to lose significant territory. The Lausanne Treaty ends conflict and defines the border of the modern Turkish Republic. Under the agreement, Turkey hands over all claims to the rest of the Ottoman Empire and in return, allied recognizes Turkish sovereignty within its new borders. The Lausanne Treaty has a wide impact on the Turkish nation. It has made the Turkish Republic sovereign. After the treaty, the Turkish Republic proclaimed its independence with Mustafa Kemal as its president. I'll end today in history with July the 24th, 1984. Indonesia ratifies the United Nations Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. The convention defines principles on the rights of women as human rights, norms and standards of obligation and the state's responsibility in the elimination of discrimination against women. This convention is one of the 8 human rights conventions ratified by Indonesia. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our daily program, My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring you a topic about the importance of Pancasila values for Indonesian young generations. Help the Bureau of the Secretary of the Leadership of the People Consult Assembly of Republic of Indonesia, Muhammad Rizal, said that the values of Pancasila have begun to diminish. According to Muhammad Rizal, the values from this Indonesian way of life have gradually been subsided. Consequently, it is essential to re-internalize and foster the values of Pancasila, particularly towards Indonesian children and youth. During the Port Vila Association of People Council Assembly (MPR), Muhammad Rizal said on Sunday that this is the form of cooperation between MPR and the youth group of Deli Serdan Kulon Village at Panongan District, Tangerang Regency, Banten. He took, for example, that people residing in major cities have started to exhibit individualistic behavior and become apathetic toward their surroundings. In addition, the values of togetherness and mutual assistance or gotong royong had been disengaged from Indonesian people's daily lives. As stated by Muhammad Rizal, the disengagement of Pancasila values is caused by external influences, including the values resulting from globalization. In addition, various new ideologies have erupted and suppressed the existence of Pancasila, for example, ISIS and liberalism. According to Muhammad Rizal, these ideologies do not align with Pancasila. The establishment of Pancasila as the ideology and state policy of Indonesia has produced consequences. Such consequences make values embodied in Pancasila to be deployed as the core and fundamental principles for the governments of country. Pancasila consists of 5 principles, and these principles act as 5 basic values which are considered fundamental. Those values include the values of pity, the value of humanity, the value of unity, the value of democracy and society, and the value of social justice. Muhammad Rizal also explained that Pancasila belongs to all citizens of Indonesia, thus it belongs to neither any particular individual nor regime, because Pancasila has been rooted and cultured in Indonesia. Pancasila grows and flourishes as a result of cultural values, tradition, and religious values in Indonesia. Therefore, the values of Pancasila could integrate all citizens of Indonesia. The first principle, namely belief in one God, carries the value of pity. This means that Indonesia gives freedom for its citizens to choose their beliefs, as well as perform their obligation and worship based on the religions of each individual. The second principle, namely just and civilized humanity, gives the sense that every citizen must be treated respectively and equally according to his dignity of the God's creature. These values remark the idea that all humans have the same degree, dignity, rights, and duties. The third principle, namely unity of Indonesia, highlights the meaning of and value of unity. It is the implementation of strong determination from every aspect in the frame to accomplish the same vision and unity called Indonesia. The fourth principle, democracy guided by the internal wisdom in the
an enmity arising out of deliberation among representatives reveals the idea that all the processes of making decisions must be conducted through deliberation in order to generate confirmed decision for every involved party. Besides, this value also emphasized that the government of Indonesia is carried out from, by, and for the people of Indonesia. The last one, the fifth principle, the social justice for the whole people of Indonesia, reinforces a message that duties and rights must work in balance in every aspect of life. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai
and keep
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Mpu Parwa Museum. Stay tuned. Music. Listener, a new museum is present in Malang City, East Java after the local government conducted revitalization in recent years. The museum, called Mpu Parwa Museum, was inaugurated by Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi last Saturday, July 14. With the inauguration of Mpu Parwa Museum, Minister Muhajir Effendi hoped the museum has better function in education and recreation aspects than it can be developed for imagination and creativity of students and visitors. Located at Jalan Soekarno-Hatta No. 210, Mojolangu Village, Lowok Waru Subdistrict, Malang, Mpu Parwa Museum stands on a land of 1,800 square meter with 1,200 square meter building area. Listener, Mpu Parwa Museum was taken from the name of one of Brahmins at Tumapel, namely Mpu Parwa. Mpu Parwa has a daughter, Kandades. Later, Kandades will be the queen of Kan Arok, the first king of Singosari Kingdom. Mpu Parwa Museum has 136 collections of statues and inscriptions of prehistoric of Hindus and Buddhists from Singhasari to Majapahit kingdoms. A total of 58 collections are displayed for visitors. Mpu Parwa Museum is open from Monday to Saturday, but especially on Sunday and the national holiday, the museum is closed. Its operating hours usually start from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. You are free of charge when you visit the museum. Listener, you will be amazed when entering Mpu Parwa Museum, since the museum is equipped with modern technology. All of collections of the museum are bright with lights. In the museum, you will be facilitated to get information for every collection even without a guide. Since the museum, you will be facilitated to get information for every collection even without a guide. Since the museum uses QR code technology or scanning system, you can get information in the form of digital as well as directly download it on your smartphone. In the inside of Mpu Parwa Museum, there is also a multimedia room. You can enjoy a movie about the history of Singhasari Kingdom playing in the room. All facilities are provided so the visitors can enjoy the museum in different ways. Many collections have high historical values at Mpu Parwa Museum. The statue of Joko Dolok coupled with Makara, with fish and elephant motifs overlooking the main gate. According to information, the Makara is found in Dukuh Joyo, Merjosari, Lowok Waru. There is also Muncan inscriptions found in Blandit Wonorejo, Singosari village. The beautiful inscription contains the liberation of Muncang village from any royal taxes. In total, there are 136 statues that became collections in the museum. There are statues of Lord Shiva, Ganesha, Rasi Guru statues, and others. Ganesha statue from Kediri Kingdom became a historical relic that is the most special in the museum. It is said that Ganesha statue is only stored in Empu Purwa Museum. It cannot be found in any other museums in Indonesia. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Empu Purwa Museum in Malang. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in a conversation. Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is pukul 7 sampai pukul 8. Or in English, from 7 to 8 o'clock. Next is an example of a conversation on pukul 7 sampai pukul 8, from 7 to 8 o'clock. In the family room at Joko's house, Tony and Endah are having a conversation about Joko's job. Tony, Joko sibuk sekali, dia bekerja setiap hari. Endah, kecuali Sabtu dan Minggu, Tony. Ya, dia bekerja dari jam 7 pagi sampai jam 8 malam. After listening to the conversation, I'm going to introduce some phrases and vocabulary related to today's topic, which is pukul 7 sampai pukul 8. Pukul 7 sampai pukul 8, which means from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. I'll say every sentence twice and you can follow after me. Joko sibuk sekali. Joko sibuk sekali, which means Joko is very busy. Dia bekerja setiap hari. Dia bekerja setiap hari, which means he works every day. Dia bekerja setiap hari, kecuali Sabtu dan Minggu. Dia bekerja setiap hari, kecuali Sabtu dan Minggu, which means he works every day except Saturdays and Sundays. Jam 7 pagi. Jam 7 pagi, which means 7 a.m. Jam 8 malam. Jam 8 malam, which means 8 p.m. Dia bekerja dari jam 7 pagi sampai jam 8 malam. Dia bekerja dari jam 7 pagi sampai jam 8 malam, which means he works from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Consider the following sentences. Joko bekerja setiap hari kecuali Sabtu dan Minggu. Joko bekerja setiap hari kecuali Sabtu dan Minggu, which means Joko works every day except Saturdays and Sundays. It means Joko works from Monday to Friday and not on Saturdays and Sundays. For this kind of sentence, you can use the word kecuali. Kecuali, which means except. Example, saya tahu semua orang di sini kecuali dia. Saya tahu semua orang di sini kecuali dia, which means I know everybody here except him. Semua buku ini milik saya kecuali yang berwarna kuning. Semua buku ini milik saya, kecuali yang berwarna kuning. Which means, all these books are mine except the yellow one. Saya belajar setiap hari, kecuali hari Minggu. Saya belajar setiap hari, kecuali hari Minggu. Which means, I study every day except Sundays. Next, to say a time span, you can use the word sampai. Sampai, which means till, until, or to. Example, saya bekerja jam 8 sampai jam 5. Saya bekerja jam 8 sampai jam 5. Which means I work from 8 till 5. Dia kuliah hari Senin sampai Sabtu. Dia kuliah hari Senin sampai Sabtu, which means he studies at college or university from Monday to Saturday. Saya tinggal di Mesir dari tahun 2000 sampai 2003. Saya tinggal di Mesir dari tahun 2000 sampai 2003, which means he lived in Egypt from 2000 to 2003. Please remember the word jam, jam, which means a clock, is only used in conversations. As for the formal variety, use the word pukul, pukul, which means the same, a clock. Example, kami belajar pukul 8 sampai dengan pukul 12. Kami belajar pukul 8 sampai dengan pukul 12, which means we study from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Before ending, let's learn Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the conversation example once more. Joko sibuk sekali, dia bekerja setiap hari. Endah, kecuali Sabtu dan Minggu. Tony, ya, dia bekerja dari jam 7 pagi sampai jam 8 malam. After listening to the above conversation on pukul 7 sampai pukul 8 or from 7 to 8 o'clock, I will give you some exercise which is related to the words you have learned in the past lessons. The exercise this time is to describe your family by answering the following questions. Berapa jumlah anggota keluarga Anda, which means how many members of your family? Jumlah saudara Anda, which means the number of your siblings? Berapa perbedaan, ulang ya. Berapa jumlah anggota keluarga Anda? Berapa jumlah anggota keluarga Anda, which means how many people are there in your family? Jumlah saudara Anda? Jumlah saudara Anda, which means the number of your siblings? Berapa perbedaan umur Anda dan saudara Anda? Berapa perbedaan umur Anda dan saudara Anda? Which means, what is the age difference between you and your siblings? An example of the exercise. Anggota keluarga saya berjumlah 4 orang. Saya anak pertama dari 2 bersaudara. Saya mempunyai 1 adik laki-laki. Dia 2 tahun lebih muda daripada saya. That was today's edition of Let's Learn Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. For practice, please send your voice recording in Indonesian to Voice of Indonesia email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be attractive souvenirs for the lucky ones. The names will be announced in November 2018. Let's meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for your... Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present Malay songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Hayalan dan Penyair by Hasnah Tahar. The song tells the story about someone living in a fantasy world, like the life of a poet. Let's enjoy the song.
Kawanku yang setia, yang bayangan, untuk di dunia kaya, di alam angan-angan. Turut diajarkan melukis nyanyi jiwa, turut diajarkan melukis nyanyi jiwa, tegang dan memuji, menangis dan tertawa, tegang dan memuji, menangis dan tertawa. Bagai musafir haus di tengah padang pasir, tak akan minum seteguk air. Gula dahaga jiwa bagai musafir haus di tengah padang pasir, rakyat akan minum seteguk air. Itulah dahaga jiwa penyanyi.
The song entitled Hayalan dan Penyair by Hasnah Tahar. Hasnah Tahar firstly entered the recording with Iramam music label led by Suyono Karsono or Mas Yos in 1950s with her songs Hayalan dan Penyair. The song was composed by Husin Bawafi and dedicated by Hasnah Tahar, accompanied by Bukit Siguntang Malay Orchestra led by Ahalik. The song Hayalan dan Penyair was then popularized again by Droid Group. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Aiga by Hasnah Tahar. The song, which was also composed by Ahalik, tells about Aiga, the girl who has gone far away. So it is the sad and melancholic song by Hasnah Tahar. Happy listening.
Selalu setiap hari hatiku rasa berduri. Setiap hari hatiku rasa berduri. Mengadu, hatiku merasa pilu. Tiada tempat mengadu, hatiku merasa pilu. Hai God, hai God, hai God.
Like the previous song, the song Aiga was accompanied by Bukit Siguntang Orchestra and has been popularized by many Indonesian singers. The song has dangdut music arrangements. Hasna Tahar is a Singapore-born singer and actress. Hasna started her career as a Malay singer. Her name continues to rise as a Malay singer, accompanied by Malay Music Orchestra, Bukit Siguntang, and Sinar Medan. Well, listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Kuda Kulari by Hasna Tahara. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.